Welcome to Pursue Him podcast with Pastor Derek and Kim D'Souza. We are a ministry of the Holy Spirit to raise up relentless Jesus lovers who are in pursuit of Him for who He is. Do you know it is your season of birthing? Join us for 40 nights of prayer and word with Pastor Derek D'Souza at 10 p.m. IST. To receive the Zoom link, text us on our WhatsApp number 845-10-99931. To watch all the previous day's sermons, go to youtube.com/pursuehiminternational.
What a wonderful Savior we serve. We thank God for everything that He has given us. Amen? How many of you can thank God for everything? You know what Pastor Kim said was so important for each one of us here. We got a God who will not do anything until we partner with Him. He will not. If we scared, then He cannot work. Because fear has to do with punishment. Fear has to do with what? But if we can just sit and laugh at our problems, just laugh. Laughed out, sister. Just laugh. I guarantee you that problem will not last for very long. Because your enemy, his number one plan is to make sure that you begin to believe that what he brings is real. But you got to believe that the God of the Bible is real. You got to believe that the God of the Bible. You got to believe that this God never fails. He's never failed. Listen, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. And God looks at you. And you just see one person. He looks at you and sees two nations inside of you. That's how you come here and you worship. You don't look and say, I'm one. You say, there's a nation inside that I'm going to birth out. There's a nation. When Rachel came to Isaac, and he said, something going on in my womb. And Isaac went and prayed. Do you know if you had to go to the doctor, what he would have said? Let's do ultrasound. Let's find out. Maybe your baby is getting the knot around his neck. Maybe. Look at your God. Two nations are inside. And what you're thinking? A baby is turned upside. Hey, baby. They are fighting because one is saying, I want to come out first. There's a nation inside of you, somebody. Listen, I'm telling you, you're thinking you're alone. There's a nation. You're a nation. If you're a Marathi speaking person, there's a nation of Marathi inside of you. If you are a Hindi speaking, there's a nation. If you're Konkani, there's a nation. If you're Gujarati, there's a nation. Listen, there's a nation waiting to hear a story. Little your heart beats and you're thinking, oh my God, Lord, don't call me home. Hey, God doesn't need you home. Please know this for a fact. It's not God who's roaming with a number. Chal, tera number, aaj lottery nikla. No, God doesn't do that. God, your God is a good O. He's a sweet O. He keeps covenant. He says with long life. But are you willing to stand up with pain in your heart and get up and say, long life. Devil, back off. Take your gas and get out of my life. Because that's all that is there. We are fed up of losing. We are winning now. Yeah. We are not going to lose one battle. Amen. Hey, we are not even going to get up with bad dreams anymore. We are going to sleep and we are going to get up in the morning with a full blueprint. Somebody, I hear the Lord saying, get up, leave your house. I'm taking you on a journey. Now don't go home and tell mommy I'm going. Spiritually, get up. Leave your house. God is ready to take you on your greatest journey. Where you will move into lands and areas where you have never seen or heard. Are you ready to take a journey where your father once walked with God? God is looking for a walking partner. Just a walking partner. Who is ready to walk? This journey which God is taking us is not, please note, is not for the person who doesn't know how to maintain a connection. You will be lost. You will be, because it is for sons to stay connected to their father. Because your father every day is changing. Every day he is changing. And when he comes to you, you need to say, what did my father grow in last weekend? I cannot miss it. Because what he shares with me is what I receive. Listen, I have seen people sit in churches for long enough, and all they have got is not become an elder, become older. I have seen people sit faithfully in church and never grown. It's because it's not where you're planted. Have you connected to the stream? Have you connected to the stream? There's a stream running through a church. You need to connect to that. And once you're connected, you got to stay hungry for the rest of your life. This is one of the greatest problems I've seen. People start off well, and then you see complacency comes in their life. The devil starts whispering in their life. Whispering words. Say, I will never allow you, Satan, to speak in my life. I will be a man and a woman who is disciplined and who perseveres and who's hungering for the things of God. I will always maintain a connection. If the devil ever has to make you not grow, you know what he does? He doesn't make you leave the church. He makes sure there's an offense in your heart. If the devil ever has to make sure you don't grow, he doesn't have to get you out of the church. All he has to do is make sure he puts an offense. If he can get an offense in, it's not long before you'll be walking outside the door. I have found this. Do you know how many demons I have to kill to pursue my father? I'm telling you, as a son, every day they come and they whisper. But you know what I told them? I said, listen, if you whisper in my ears, I'll do exactly double. I said, because this is not human connection. My God sent my father. I am not the one to find out what's in his life. I am the one to chase after him, because everything in him is going to come to me. But it doesn't come to me by me sitting. It comes to me by pursuing. Because what I pursue, I become into that. Did you get it? If you've not been growing, just tap into what you heard yesterday. Because I can guarantee you 100, not 100, 200, 300%. It will not happen any other way. It will not. It just won't. That's why the Bible says older women teach younger women. Because he's saying older women, I connected you to somebody. You receive. Now pass on. Even Jesus, he said, on the night he was betrayed, I give to you what I have received. On the night of everything we give is what we receive. And God will never let an angel come and give it to you. Huh? So when an angel comes and gives you the whole, I don't want to say it, but you know what I'm talking about. Then it's a suspect. Because the way God works is through sons, through his own children. He'll never do it any other way. So when we ask God for promotion, what are you really asking him? You're asking God, send me a man. That's what you're asking him. Because God is not going to just promote you like that. He's going to send. But the problem is when you can't see the blessing will never come how you want. The blessing may come like a shark. And you'll say, I'm running out of here. But you don't know that shark is the one who's going to make you swim fast. Now you'll be swimming so fast, nobody will be able to catch up with you. And before you were just like a lazy daisy roaming around, never growing. Now you're becoming like a shark. Why? Because you prayed and God answered your prayer. Even for God to do it at creation, he had to do the same thing. He created Adam. He gave Adam something. Adam had to give it to Eve. Eve didn't listen to Adam. She said, I'll submit to you, snake. That's what the Bible says. Submit. Why? To your own husbands. Because she submitted to a snake. If she had to only listen, because God put the message in whom? Adam. He never put it in Eve. He took out the rib and made her. But Adam had to give the message. She had to receive it. But she didn't receive it. She took a message from a snake. And her whole garden was lost. Say, I will never lose my garden. Never lose my garden to a talking snake. Listen, God has planted you in a garden, if you have not realized. If you realize you're in a garden, shout amen. You're in a garden. And each one of you is growing beautifully. Beautifully. Now make sure no snake defiles you. Make no snake come and make you anxious, make you worried. You have to know you're on a time clock now. Listen, child of God, I'm telling you prophetically, you're already sitting on a time clock. You are sitting on a, and you are in the right time, in the right place, in the right moment. Please, your amen should be really loud if you believe it. I am telling you, all your life you've been waiting, this moment has arrived. You are in the right place, at the right time, in the right moment. Now, get ready. Anytime it's going to break. Now, all you need to do is not lower down your guard. Now, guard your heart all the more. If you find somebody talking, if you find somebody speaking differently, just walk. Don't say anything. Just walk away. Because remember, if God has to use a man to bring you into his kingdom, Satan also will use a man to take you away. Are you getting it? The devil is a copycat. He only copies what God does. So he knows this system is very, very effective. He knows God's system works very well. He knows it. So if God uses a man, he'll use a man. You have to be very careful now. Because now you don't want anything to mess up where God is taking you. Say, I will not mess up now. Say, it took God long to get me here. How many of you can put your hand prophetically and say, it took me long? I'm just blown away by this God. How many of you know that the Israelites, to reach the promised land, it should have taken 11 days. It took 40 years. 40 years. Guys, 40 years to go to 11 days. And do you know what God did? He told Moses, every point that you took, write it down. If I told you your life, every point, write it down till you have come to this point. Go home and do it. And look at it. And after you write it down, say, Lord, this point has come with blood and sweat. Let me have a grace that I never spoil this. That I'll never become one Esau. That I'll never become one Cain. That I'll never become a person, Lord, who will come in your house with irreverence. Lord, that now I know whom I'm following. I know who's leading me. And I know who I am. And I know whose I am. Look at this. It was amazing. I never knew. But when I saw this, God told them, write down.
Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting points.
Look here. Their starting points. 11 days journey. Took 40 years. You know why? Because they still thought they were slaves. God removed you from a house of bondage. Can I have a witness? Were you removed from a house of bondage? Do you agree? And after removing them from a house of bondage, these guys never forgot their bondage. Today, leave your bondage behind. Leave your bondage behind and say, God, I'm not going to take 40 years. Where you lead me, I will go. And what you speak to me, I will do. Listen, don't make your life with God treacherous, because it's not God who doesn't have time. He has a lot. It is us who doesn't have time. Look at that. Read.
They departed from Ramesses in the first month. Hmm. On the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them. Also on their gods, the Lord had executed judgments. Then the children of Israel moved from Ramesses to camp and camped at Succoth. They departed from Succoth and camped at Etham.
Okay, let me interrupt you, because if she goes on, I numbered it myself. I numbered the entire thing. Okay, it goes right up till 33 verse 49. And I looked at every path. And probably on the prayer call, I'll show you the map. But the map, if you see, you'll also go crazy. Because there's a straight path to the Cana. Straight. It's straight. Yet God made them go like this. Then they went back up. Then they came back down. Then they went little ahead. Then they went like this. Then they went inside. Then they came back. And like this, I counted 42 points. 42 points in their journey. I was saying, God, one for every year. 40 days they grumbled, right? They went to spy for 40 days. 42 points they got. And you want to know how you read that, okay? I'll show you on the prayer call there. But when I looked at the map, immediately I began to look at my life. I began to plot my life. And I said, Lord, we somehow don't learn from our mistakes. You know why? Because the enemy knows you got a poor memory. So today's lesson, you will end up forgetting and you'll repeat. But you need to be smart and say, I'll never repeat it again. Never. When you see this, and I'll show you the diagram, because now you can't see the diagram. And I show you the diagram, there's a red line showing you. And look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. This is actually how much time it should take. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verse 2.
It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea.
11 days, those Mount Horeb is where they got the, from there to Kadesh Barnea, which is in Canaan, 11 days. And they took 40 years. I'll show you, you'll get blown. You know why? Do you know why it happened? Go to Exodus. Lord, can somebody say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the word. Lazu karayata boshere maya. Go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. Exodus 13, verse 17. Can you read?
Exodus 13, 17. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt.
Did you get it? Did you see that? I think you'll need to stand and read this, okay? We always stand when we hear the word of God. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt.
Did you get it? We got to understand why. Why does God not want to take us through the easy way? It's written here, it came to pass then Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, now, so what was this place where God was leading them? A land flowing with milk and honey. A land flowing with? A land, say a land flowing with milk and honey. God has kept a place for you. In the old covenant, this whole book is about land. It's a real estate book. This whole book is real estate. It's only real estate. God has kept a place where you cannot just be prosperous, but he'll prosper you till you become prosperous. Huh? You saw that scripture, right? The man became prosperous and he began to prosper till he was very prosperous. God doesn't prosper you. He makes sure that you begin to prosper, that you become very prosperous. Why do you think God cannot trust his people with money? Because when he comes to look at you in your spirit, you are still so attached to it. The day you decide to say, God, I am not living for money. I'm living for a kingdom. You see, that day God will start giving you money. He'll start. Because now he knows he can trust you with it. Because I can guarantee you, there is no end to receiving. There is no end to desiring. There is no end. Even if I give you 2 cars today, you'll want the fourth. Even if I give you 2 houses, you'll be searching for the fifth. Even if I give you 1 crore, you'll be looking at 2 crores. Give you 10 crores, you'll be looking at 20. There is no end to this rubbish. There's only one thing. It's at the feet of Jesus, where money now finally gets its value. Otherwise, it will consume you. It will make you run like a slave all your life. And then finally, when you think I got enough, he said, time up. Now is your time to go. I was reading the Word of God yesterday and I was amazed. You know what the Bible says? Like a partridge who gathers her brood that she does not hatch, so is a man who gathers riches made without justice. While he is living, it shall leave him. And in the end, he will be a fool. You know what is the story of a partridge? The partridge takes and broods over other birds' eggs. And it tries to, so you take what is not yours. But you know what is the irony? When the birds get hatched and they become big, they fly to their own mothers. Money that you get, which is not done right, will never stay with you. It goes back to the owners. So those people become fools in the end. Did you get it? They become? Can you put your hand in your heart and say, thank you, Lord, for preventing me from becoming one? Because inside of you, each and every one, including me, is a desire to get wealthy. And if even we get it the wrong way, we are okay. Can you catch your heart and say, thank you, Lord? Thank you, I didn't end up a fool. Thank God he never gave you that wrong money. That partridge which you would have been hatching, it would have left you in your prime. And in the end, you would be a fool. That's Jeremiah 17:11. You know what Jeremiah 17:5 says? He says, cursed is the man. Cursed. What? Not blessed. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in man and who makes flesh his strength. And then he says, he is like a bush. You know that bush in the wilderness, it just gets blown. You've seen in the Texas movies, the wind blows and one ball is rolling. He is like a bush. I don't know the word, just see 70. Yeah, shrub in the desert. He shall not see good when it's coming, because you made man your strength and the flesh, what you put your trust. That means when good comes, you can't see it. Why? Because you're too loving man. Because God, when he brings an opportunity to you, he never brings it how you want it. He never markets it like the world markets it. He'll just say, please take an offering. I want to build something. And you know what you will do at that time? You'll walk away. And you just missed your chance for not only you, but your generations to be blessed. You'll not see it. Why? Because you made man your flesh. You made man your strength. You made the arm of flesh your strength. He says, so you, when good comes, you're not going to see it. Because it'll come to a person who's walking by the Spirit. When they see, their eyes will shine. They say, Manto Robosha Kataya. Sell everything. We got to hit jackpot. and you tell somebody else, I just invested. And they say, which stock? You say, I just invested in my church. So what? You fool. What did you do? I put 75% of all my income inside. What? This guy is mad. We'll find out who's mad. We'll find out very soon. Because your stock market is going to crash. But my investment is going to grow. Hey! Look what he says. Birds shall inhabit the parched places. The parched places. He'll be like a salt pan, he said, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Now see what he says after that. But, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the water, whose roots go down to what? By the stream, no, it says, by the river. And will not fear when heat comes. Look at this. But the leaf will be and will not be anxious in the year of children of God. It's a year of drought coming. At that time, you'll be shouting hallelujah because you invested in a kingdom. And that time, those guys who called you the fool will be tearing their hair. Because at that time, the Bible says, nor will you cease from yielding fruit in the day of drought. And will not be anxious. Listen, he doesn't fear when heat comes. His leaf is green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That means even in the year of drought, like Isaac. Do you know? Papa Abraham had a same famine. In fact, the Bible says the same famine which came to his father came to Isaac. When it came to Abraham, Abraham went walking to Egypt. He says, Egypt doesn't have famine. When it came to Isaac, God said, don't do what Papa did. Stay here. Same thing. He said, stay here in Gerar. Stay here. Don't go. Because Papa went to Egypt and then he said, this is my sister, not my wife. And before you know, Pharaoh was with his wife. This time, God told son, don't do what Papa did. You stay here. I will bless you here. And God blessed him so beautifully. The guy came and he said, my God. He said, you've become too big for us. You please leave. Do you know? Can I show you something? I'm sorry, Lord. Okay, I'll come to my subject. Are you blessed? Are you getting there? Okay. Do you know why? Can I just show you this? Let's go to Genesis. This Papa is too good here. When you go into Papa Abraham's life, you don't know what to do. Look at Genesis. Genesis chapter, where is it, Sarah? 26. Look here. Okay. Look at 13, okay, I'm reading. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became Mr. Prosperous. Okay, that's your title from today. Say, I'm Mrs. Prosperous. Prospero. Say, I'm Mr. Prospero. Make sure when you're saying that, you are an active investor in the kingdom. Otherwise, you'll be a fool. Otherwise, you'll be a... Because if you say that, you better be investing in the right kingdom. Because then, now your faith and your words are in the same line. Now your heart doesn't condemn you. You've got to have a clear conscience before God. Do you know many people quote scripture and their conscience is telling them, hey, bhai, I know what you just did. I know what you say behind the door. I know what you say when nobody is there. What are you screaming so much? I know what you're living. Your conscience is a very good indicator, but not the best. Did you hear what I said? It's a good indicator, but not the best. The Spirit of the Lord is the best. But if your conscience condemns you, don't kick it out. It was there in case you get blind. In case you get too proud. Then it just gets up and says, Baba, what you're saying is not matching what you do. And that's the time you don't kick the conscience and say, no, the blood of Jesus. No, you repent. Because the conscience may be right. But sometimes you can have the wrong conscience, and I'm not going to that. Let me look at this. Verse 13, the guy began to prosper, for he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds. So the Philistines, what? Philistines, what? Shout. Envied him. So what the Philistines did? They stopped all his wells. Say they stopped. Now I'm not going to read all this, but I just want to show you something. Verse 17, 18, 19, 20, the guy dug a well. These guys, what they did, they fought him for it. He gave them that well. Say he gave them that well. Look here. Say he gave them that well. Then he dug another well. Then if they fought him for that also. Gave them that well also. It says then, verse 19. Isaac's servants dug a valley. They found a well running. The herdsmen 20 Gerar quarreled. And they said, the water is ours. Can you imagine? Water is theirs. Water is coming from the Lord. Water is yours. Okay, chalo. They fought, and what did Isaac say? Take Baba. 21, he dug another well. And what did they do? They quarreled over that. He said, take Baba. Then what did he do? He moved in 22 and dug another well. And they didn't quarrel about that. And finally, he named it Rehoboth. Now look at this. That same guy who told him to leave and go. What was his name? Abimelech. He told him what? Go. This guy comes back to him. Can you read verse 26? Look at 26. Now Abimelech comes back.
Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?
Did you get this? So this guy was already there, but they first told him, what, you go, you have become what? Too big for us. You please go. Now he's coming back and he's telling him what? This is what he's telling him. He's telling him, he comes, and Isaac said to him, why are you come back? You are the one who hated me and sent me away, right? Now look what he says.
But they said, we have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you.
Now he wants to make a what?
Covenant.
Hey, I am prophetically telling you, you're going to move into this blessing.
Wow, amen.
You're going to move into this blessing. Read the next one. What is the covenant? It's
that you will do us no harm.
Now he's getting scared of him. Now he's saying, promise me, you will not do me harm. Huh? It is his land. He's the owner. But now he's scared because he's saying, let's make a covenant that you won't do anything to me. Read on.
That you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you and since we have done nothing to you but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord.
This is when your enemies come and tell you, you are now the blessed of the Lord.
Man,
I've not told you the real secret. Do you know why he came to him? Why did this guy, and he's telling him, we didn't do any harm. He did so much harm. Every time he built, got a well, this fellow went and took it. He was telling his guys, take it. Don't let them prosper. Take it there. But then suddenly he came and he said, verse 28. We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. When will your enemies certainly see that the Lord is with you? You know when? You know why? You know why he came to Isaac and he said, I know God is with you. Because there was not a single man living on earth who can just dig a well and water come out.
Wow.
You stop this, I dig again, water comes out. You take this, I dig again, water comes out. You dig this again, water comes out. Listen, now he began to say, this guy is not a man. Where he digs, water comes.
Wow.
Your amens are too weak. He finally realized, we take 40 years to dig a well, but this man, you stop him, he digs there, water comes. You take that, he digs here, water comes. He goes here, water comes. How is water following him? And we dig and dig and dig and dig and get stones. So now he says, do you know, gold was not precious in that time. Silver was not precious. If they didn't find a well, they died. The water was the most precious thing. Because if there was water, there was rice, there was grain, there were sheep who could eat the grass. Everything worked on water. Everything worked on. And when he realized that the most priceless commodity is sitting with Mr. Isaac, he realized that this guy has the source of living water. Child of God, you got that water inside of you. You got that water. If one stream of income is stopped, the next one is opening. If this stops, the next one is opening. If this one stops, the next one is opening. No one is going to be able to stop you from functioning like God.
Amen.
If you really believe it, shout it. Amen. Sit down. Now you know why he feared Isaac. How do you think he knew God was with him? Because he knew all his sacrifices to his demons could not locate one well. And now he knew that this has to be God. How can this guy be functioning like his father? Because this guy now started digging his father's wells. Do you know, in this chapter, I explained it last time to you. Verse chapter 26, verse 25. 26, verse 24 and 25. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I want you to see, God never did it for Isaac. If you're blessed, it's not because of you. It is never because of you. Because God doesn't bless you. He blesses your submission to the anointing that he placed on a father. Did you get it? Because if he had to bless you and you don't know how to submit, then it would violate his system. Right or wrong? Because the way God is going to bless you is get your blessing to you when you submit to a man he sent to you. But if he has to bless you and then you don't submit to the man, then he violates his own system. So the way God has to bless you is to tell you, you are blessed because you are a good student, because you know how to run after a father. So now God blesses you. That's why the blessing on our life is really not ours. The blessing in a way is ours because we have learned to submit. We have learned to chase. We have learned to say, God, we shall never commit the error that our fathers did. Sit down. You know what is the error our fathers did? They wanted it direct from God. And God said, I'll not give it to you directly. This is the work of God. Believe in the one whom he sent. They said, no, no, our father got it from up. He said, no, no, that was not manna. This is the real manna. Because what your fathers ate was the word. But the word without the spirit is death. The word without the spirit, I'm telling you, it's death. You read this Bible, all it will do is bang you on your head. And you will never understand it till a father walks. And when that spiritual father opens the word to you, now everything makes sense. I don't know whether you're saying amen or you're doubting. You know why I'm so convinced about it? I've tried it, Baba. I have done this. I have told God directly I want it. And do you know, for 20 years, I never heard a voice. All I got was grace not to die. But there was no grace to prosper. There was no grace where you touch things and they start multiplying. That grace has come now. That grace has come now. That where you go and you just invest, water comes there. You throw your net there. Fishermen are fishing. Whole night, it's their job. They know how to fish. Jesus just comes walking and says, boys, throw it on the right. Like, what? We know how this works. But because you said it, we'll do it. Throw it on the right. Fish comes on the right. You can't pull it inside. Hallelujah. That's the word with the Spirit. The word, the... What is the word? The word is what you get through intellect. You just sit with this. This will blow you. It's full of intellect. But under this, there is a current that only the Spirit of God will reveal. That's why most people get excited with quoting the word, but they can never find what is underneath the word. So you'll see them quoting the word, but it just never works. All you'll have is 40 years of you collecting in a wilderness. Is anybody interested in moving in 11 days? I like that. Listen, child of God, be attentive. When God speaks to you, don't be a fool. Please don't be a fool. I'm telling you through experience. For once, dive into the realm of faith. Once, dive into the realm of faith. Get there and say, I'm breaking an alabaster. Let's see if your word works. Tell him I'm breaking it in front of you. Let's see. Do something that you've never done and put yourself in the realm of faith and tell God, because you spoke, now I'm yours. And see God how he'll come and lift you up. Don't be a fool and just say, I'm going to test you. Huh? Have a word. Be alert. Say, Lord, I want to reach in 11 days. I can't wait 40 years. I can't wait 40. You have 40 years. We don't want to wait for 40 years. Do you know what I did yesterday? So many people were giving me offerings. I took all your offerings. I doubled it and sent it to my father. You want to know what I do with your offerings? This is what I do. Because I am too blessed. Whatever you give, I double and I send. Because I'm not running after money. I'm done. Water has to come to me. Water has to come to. That is the way we live life. We never run after money. We have found out the secret. The secret is God has hidden it in a stream called the river, which flows from the throne. And nobody finds that river. Because that river is flowing from the throne room of God. Read it in Revelations. But that river is flowing through the entire universe. And it has located men of God who have tapped into this river. And when God, don't ever think God is going to bring the whole world. No, there will only be a remnant. There will only be a remnant. The whole world is not going to. God desires that none should perish, not one. But all are called. But few are. Say, I'm chosen. I'm chosen. Mujhe chuna. Without standing for elections, we are winning. I love you, Lord. It was very hard initially. It was very hard for me to believe all this. It took me long, but I studied the word. Day and night I studied. I said, I don't want to be ignorant. I need to find this. I need to see how this system. And then when I went into the Word of God, it's everywhere. It is literally everywhere. And then I understood how God really wants us to live. I'm telling you, everything you're doing from the time you leave this church till I see you next Sunday will only be for this. If this is the most critical thing in your life and you bring pedas to God, do you think he's looking at your peda? You think you're going to make him eda? Huh? When what you value is this and you hidden that and you bring him. Did you get it? Because what God is looking is not what you don't value. He's looking to see what you value. Will you bring that? No, Lord, I will serve you. I will work double hard. God says, no problem. But can you give me Isaac? Today the parents will say, Lele Baba. Uthale usko. But don't touch my TV. Yeah? But God knew very well, Abraham was very good at making altars. So he watched him and he watched him. Every day he was making altars. But he was hiding one thing. Then God came to him and said, okay, I'll put an altar. He said, no, I don't want altar now. I want what I gave you. My God. That night Abraham was sitting and tearing his heart. Thank God. But he knew one thing about this God, that he's a giver. He knew this very well because he came with Charana from Tehran. And the guy, God blessed him so much that he couldn't even count what he had. So he knew that this God is not a taker, he's a giver. But the way he gives is by asking you to give what you value, not what you don't value. That's why that woman with the alabaster, when she did that, the heaven stopped. And God said, listen, this child, her name and her story shall be written with my gospel. He gave her the highest promotion. That means even when I go to preach, I have to bring that woman. I have to tell a story because God said, wherever this gospel is preached, this woman, what she did shall be told. Can you imagine? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your enemies are going to come and say, please, let's make a covenant with you. Let us make a what? Because we know now God is with you. You know, one of the most beautiful things of our life is that we should love people. Never not love them. The minute you hate people, the minute you keep offense, remember this. The Bible says that if you love one another, you walk in the light. And the blood of Jesus continuously cleanses you. But if you don't, the blood of Jesus will not continuously cleanse you. That's the time your hedge breaks. And that's the time the enemy starts attacking you. But as long as you are walking in the light, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So tell yourself, I will never keep hatred, even for my enemies, even for my, never. That is a sure, short way of letting an arrow from the enemy go straight into your heart. Don't. Why should we live in sadness? You have chosen to be bitter. We have chosen to be glitter. Amen. If you've chosen to be bitter, we are not going to drink the same poison. Amen. We love you. We love you from far. But we still love you. Amen. Will you not forget this? The number one root cause of all sickness is this. When you keep unforgiveness, when you keep offense, when you keep bitterness, when you start getting into he's right, she's right, I was right, we are right. There's nobody right. There's only one God and he's right. So when we make mistakes or when somebody else makes mistakes, whether it is, that's why I call my enemies. Do you know that? How many of you call your enemies? I call them. And you know what I do? I say, I'm sorry. And they say, for what? I say, I don't know. But I thought that you had something against me. And they get so flabbergasted, they don't know what to say. No, 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 I don't have anything. And I know they have it. And I say, I forgive you. And please forgive me also. Then I'll not forgive you. That's your problem. But I forgive you. Intentionally I do it. When I just come to know, I call them. I have done it not once, twice, thrice. I've done it many times. Because I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I do not want to. Can I tell you about today's word, what God gave me? Only two words. Only whenever God wanted to bless somebody. Whenever God. You want to be blessed? Like lightning. You want to be blessed? You. All Jesus ever said, whenever he wanted to change destinies, was two words. Follow me. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. Just follow me. He turned around to his disciples and 13 times he said the same thing. Do you know what it takes to be a follower of Jesus? Not Instagram follower, not Facebook. That is one click and you're, I'm follower. To be a follower of Jesus is the most beautiful things that beautiful thing you can ever do in your life. Can I give you some questions? You can't follow Jesus in the flesh, but he sent somebody. Can you be a student who will not miss? Don't ever come and ask me to lay hands on you. Go and hear all the messages. You will get blessed. Don't ever come and ask me to pray for you. Just eat the right food. The devil will never be able to attack you. Just eat it. Do you know why people? Everything starts with the what you eat. So, do you know everything physical? God also has done it spiritual. You are dying because of what you're not eating or what you have not eaten. Or you're eating in the wrong place. Two things can kill you. You don't eat the right things or you eat the right things but in the wrong place. Because there, imagine putting soda, bicarb, putting God knows 3-4 things. You see that chef? In the Chinese, it's dangerous. 2-3 flies also have gone in roasted. You don't know anything. Throw inside powders. Throw inside. Just take. Take soda bicarb. Throw it on your plate. And you got. And mama gives you nice bhaji, nice dal. Took so long to clean it. Remove every strand. Remove everything. Put all nice herbs clean. Remove every dirty thing. And you look at it. She? Oh, Chinese ka menu card do rahe? You don't even know that Chinese fellow what he's done. You don't know where his hand has gone. You're eating. Why? He knows what you like. He knows what your tongue likes. And he's thrown that in. But eat good Chinese food in a good place. You, when you put it in your mouth, you see, you taste 7 distinct flavors.
It's not like that.
Those days of eating like that food is over. Now we don't go to YouTube and see 10 different people. We follow one. That's why people I see, they come and then they don't know what is happening. I got connection ne arise because you're sitting all day and watching 100. And then you're wondering, why is there a bhaji inside? And why you can't follow? And why you're not blessed? Stick to one. Otherwise, go and ask God, which is that one, and go there. But become one with whom God has sent. Say, I shall not be divided. I shall be united. Listen, in this season, remember this, your greatest breakthroughs are this year, not next. You got a pastor who doesn't put balm. He'll see the wound, put finger in. Because you know why? It's not because I'm doing it. Because God is showing you. Because if I don't say to you, do you know I can love you? But I have loved people and I saw what they did to me. I loved people. I prayed for them. I cried for them. But I never told them the truth that they were snakes. I never told them. I never preached like how I preach now. Why? Not because I was afraid of them. I was never afraid of them. But I never had a father. Now I said, you all can all leave me. I have a father. Now I said, I have no problem. No problem. I don't care about anybody. I'm growing every day. That should be your statement till you meet the Lord. I don't care about. I'm going to grow. I am going to grow because listen, I don't care about anybody. I want to grow. I want to be that revivalist that brings revival. I want to be that person whom God has called. Jesus only told one thing to his disciples. Pray. Give. No. Follow. Only one thing. And do you know what those disciples did? They left everything. Everything. Do please answer me today. This is the word God told me to speak to you. When you heard the Lord speak to you, what you thought when he said, follow me? Because till today, we have not given up everything for Jesus. We are holding on to 5 things and we are saying, Jesus will follow you. You're tied to the ground. And where are you going to follow him? Does your heart beat for his heart? Does your heart beat for the things his heart beats for? Are you woken up in the night, howling like a mad person for his glory? When everybody is sleeping, do you get calls from the Holy Spirit and saying, come son, we need to do some warfare. Somebody is struggling. Do you get up and sacrifice your sleep? Do you sacrifice, while you're doing your work, are you thinking about the love of your soul? If these are things that are happening to you, then my friend, you are following him. That's why Paul said, imitate me as I imitate what? He was not shy. He said, please imitate me. Because he knew who he was imitating. You have to be very careful about who you imitate. Very. I studied my father day and night. And I am convinced. He is a Jesus Lord. Are you? Then imitate. You'll be blessed. You're asking God for a house. Whatever's your father's, you'll have. You'll have the best marriage. Because I have the best marriage. You'll have the best house because I got. Not one, not two, three. You'll get it. 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 Say, I will have the best children. You'll have it. I will have peace in my house. You'll have it. Because the way God works is to make sure that the grace that you follow falls on you. That is, what is the use of following and not receiving? So when I look at a person and I see his life out of order, yet the person is in a following a man of God, then I have only one question. Connection mein kuch problem hai. Because you can be following with a bad connection. Have you seen a Wi-Fi which is on a bad connection? It works. But you know how irritating it gets, right? You're clicking and it's, and you're like hypnotic. At the end of it, you don't know what's up. Say, my connection is going to be rock solid. Take your time. Take your time. Take your time. Go to the Father. Stand, sit with him. Investigate everything that I've told you. But once you arrive, say, devil, I am convinced now that we are going to become one. And we are going to follow because there is a great blessing God wants to transfer. And he cannot do it the way you want to do it. He'll only do it the way he does it. He'll only do it the way he does it. So the question is, when you say, when you told God, when God told you, follow me, how are you really following him? Can I ask you some questions? What is our response to the voice of the Spirit in our life? How do we respond to his promptings? When the Holy Spirit comes and tells you something, how quickly do you respond to it? If the Holy Spirit tells you, get up and walk out, how long does it take you to get up and walk out? If the Holy Spirit comes and tells you, stop it, you're wasting time, let's go and pray, how fast do you listen? Because remember, if we say follow, do you think Jesus is going to come in the flesh? You think your pastor is going to come in the flesh? No, I don't see you for 6 days. I see you only once. But who is with you throughout the time? The Holy Spirit. He is the one you need to follow in your daily life. You cannot grieve him. You just cannot. Listen, everything we do will crash and burn if we do not honor the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is useless. It is absolutely useless. Because when he comes, you give everyone attention but not him. That cannot happen. Say, that cannot. Because I've decided to follow Jesus. When you decided to follow Jesus, you said no turning back, right? Yes or no? The fishermen, Jesus called brothers. He loves brothers. I don't know why. Peter and his brother, Andrew. Then he looks at Zebedee, James and John. He loves families. Then he called one tax collector. Said, you also come. But all his 12, when he called them, they left everything. Say everything. So now you must be asking the question, Pastor, do I leave everything? No. But has your heart left everything? Leaving, everybody wants to leave doing all the work and say, I want to sit before God. No, that's not what God wants. He's saying, I'm looking at your heart. Are you going to be a Martha with a Mary's heart? God has no problem with that. You can be doing your work still at the feet of Jesus. You can be going to your work at the feet of Jesus. You can be a mother in the house at the feet of Jesus. You can be sweeping at the feet of Jesus. You can be swabbing the floor at the feet of Jesus. But are you willing to not let the Holy Spirit go back when he comes to call you. Remember those juicy conversations we like to be part of? And the Holy Spirit says, don't. What do we do? And just hear it. You don't realize every invitation he gives you is a missed opportunity for us, not for him. Because he's eternal. He'll be here long before we go. He'll always be there. But we need to move with him. So the question is, have we really given up everything? When he comes to your door of your heart, does he see all strings and you're saying, Lord, I'll follow you? And he's saying, sweetheart, please tell me how you'll follow me. So, Lord, I'll follow you, Lord. He's saying, but I can see there are 15 strings attached to you. Scissors, you know? Huh? Just take ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Instead of cutting one nice heart note, just go ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Say, Lord, if you called me, do you know how many people were in the Bible? They came to Jesus. They saw this guy was God. And they came to him and they said, what can I do to have your life? You know what he turned on and said? Follow me. But before he said, follow me, he said, sell everything you have. Heart attack abhi aa raha hai. Sell everything. He gave up. He gave up walking with God on earth because of what he had. I don't want to be that. Please tell your neighbor, I don't want to be that person. Tomorrow, if God comes in your room and says, daughter, can you walk with me? And you tell God, not today. Look at this man. His son just yesterday came and told me, my father's this. Today I get message, he's gone. What is life? What is? Do you know Solomon? In all his wisdom, there's one chapter everywhere he's written at least 28 times. Nothing is new under the sun, under the sun. You know that chapter? Ecclesiastes. Under the sun, there's nothing new under the sun. Toil, 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 toil. But do you know what he now doesn't tell you? What is under heaven? Because we don't live under the sun, we live under heaven. Ah, when you read Ecclesiastes, you have to find out what he's not telling you, because he was so wise that he could not follow the rules of kings. Do you know there's a rule book for kings? Are you a king? Can I show you? Do you know there's a rule book? And if I show you, will you do it? Who's willing to do it? Huh? You're a king. You're a king. And you will not do this. Hey, you shouted you're a king, right? I'll show you what kings have to do. And do you know not one king did it? But the king who did it prospered like crazy. Say, I'll be that king. I'll come to check. Huh? You know me, you know how I am. Once I set my eyes on you. Deuteronomy 17. 16. 15. Yeah, from 15 read.
You shall surely set a king over you.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, read from here, everybody. You shall
surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren, you shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again.
First rule of kings. Can you imagine God said, never multiply horses? You know why he said it? Not because he didn't want you to have a good ride. Because he knew at that time, people started putting their trust in the horse. Because the horse began to say, I got horse, I'm going to win the battle. That's why God said, that horse will never make you win the battle. It is your God who makes you wins battle. So he said, never multiply horses. Why? We let the king come and see you without horses. They need to know you submit to a greater king. You won't need horses in the day of your battle. You won't need the arm of flesh. You won't need doctors coming to tell you. You will have the word of God in your heart and your mouth. Read on. It gets even more interesting.
Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself.
David and his son broke this. It's written, this is the rules for kings. Never multiply wives. Why? And did it not do it? Now you're seeing everything that you saw a king in the Bible, whenever they fell, they died. It was because God already put a rule in place. And when God writes something down, you do what you want. The outcome is already decided. You can say, I am smoke cigarette and this is an e-cigarette and this is a b-cigarette and you know, nothing happens. It's good for health. No problem. You're going to die. Because God told you, your body is the temple. Read on.
Also, it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the
Levites.
Did you
ever know these rules were there? Did you?
No.
He's saying the king has to write himself a copy of the whole book of the law. When I tell you to write scripture, you get upset with me. And you call yourself a king. You don't even know what God wants of you. Will you ever stop doing what God told you to do? He's telling you, you're a king. You only don't know your rights. Why do you think he said the king has to write a copy of it? Why not take the copy that is there and read it? Because when you write it, something happens to your eyes. Something happens to your hand. Now you know where the comma comes. Now you know where the page ends. Now you know where there's a full stop. Now you know where there's a quotation. Now you know where there's a question mark. All these things you will never notice as long as you're quoting scripture. Write it. That's why God never quoted. He wrote the Bible. He never quoted it. He wrote it. Your starting points, God said, write it. Today, go home. Write your 40 years. Because I know all of us have taken a 40-year journey. This is the year you're going to escalate into your promised land. Why am I telling you to write it? Because if you don't write it, you'll make the same mistake again. Write. What happened when I was so close? What devil stole my blessing? How it made me think differently? How I landed back in the same. I took a diversion. I came back. Instead of going forward, I went back. Instead of going forward, I went back. You'll find these starting points in your. You'll be able to trace it. Guaranteed. There'll be events in your life. There'll be a timeline. And you'll know. At this point, I was growing. Then I started reversing. Now, what happened at this point? Which talking snake came into your life and took you out of the land that you had to go into? Which boss came and made you start running on a chain, telling you you're going to get a promotion, put a carrot in front of you, that you left church, you left everything. All you could see was money, 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 money. Why? You have to pay a loan. Who told you to take the loan? Debt, 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 debt. You're running like a fool after debt. Who told you to take debt? Did God tell you? Don't eat. But don't borrow money if God didn't tell you. Because the minute you do it, you become a slave. Now all that person has to do is just increase your interest rate and you'll be running faster. Huh? We don't take debts. And if we take debts, we have enough cash to pay it off the next second. You open your mouth. I give you business. My loan is business, not loan because I need it. Hello. When we go to the bank, we tell them we don't need it. We are giving you business. Huh? Because I have to pay tax. So I take one loan from you. You act smart with me, I'll close the loan tomorrow. That's how we do business. You don't do it, we close it tomorrow. I'll go and give my business to somebody else. But we never take loans. We eat less, we dress less, and we put God's word into practice till we have more. But we don't take loans. Never. Never. Because God says you will not be the debtor. You will be the lender. You will not be the borrower. You will be the lender. You will not be the tail. You will be the... You will not be last. You will be... We have to do God's way. It doesn't work. I'm telling you, it doesn't work. Today, you ready to cut all your strings? If God told you and he comes to you and he said, 15 years ago, I told you, follow me. Show me how you followed me. You'll feel embarrassed the way you have followed him. You like this teaching? Yes. Some of you will, you should cry. Say, God, the way I followed you, I'm upset. But I know you'll forgive me. But from today, I'll follow you with intelligence. Because when you follow this God, your enemies have to come and say, God. Because we know that God is. Because now we know that you, wherever you go, you have a blessing on your hands that all you need to do is touch and water comes. You will never lack. I promise you, you will never lack. Amen. Me and my wife, we started our journey on the floor, sleeping with one bedsheet. New wife, I'm saying, no, I mean, it's only one wife. Eh? But newly, I just married her and I told her I don't have a bed. I said, but we'll sleep in our own house. I said, we sleep on the floor. And we put one nice teddy bear there and we slept on the floor. Ask her, the next week the whole house was furnished. And we didn't pay 1 rupee. That's your God. Trust him. Walk with him. Give your whole life to him. Don't let him come and say, hear you making prayers that I have followed you. And he says, really? When was the last time my Holy Spirit came? And he was able to say, you were able to drop what you're doing and walk with him. Write himself what?
Of this law in a book.
Now you know why all the kings sinned. Not one of them wrote a copy. I'm showing you. So when you're seeing people do wicked things, it is because they are not following God's law. It's written, man. It's written that you're supposed to write it on the doorpost, on your frontlets between your eyes, teach it to your children, talk about it. You come to a house, every second we are talking about God. I'm banging my children. Ta-ta-ta, only Jesus. We are dancing, we put on songs, we dance, we sing, we jump. We celebrate God. You're cooking. We are loving him. We're throwing it up in the air. And thank you, Jesus. Anything you get, celebrate God. Because it's his mercy and his love for you. And tell me if you don't have visitations from him. Tell me. Thank him for everything. Don't come every day and say, Lord, what you're giving me. Read on.
And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my. You shall read it on Sundays. Please. You're sure? Middle of the day? One day?
All the days.
And look why he's saying he should read it.
That he may learn
to fear God. To fear God. Child of God, to fear. There is no fear of God. Thank God it's coming back in our church. Thank God when you come to church, you're just not wandering. You know this is holy ground. You know that God is here because his church is gathering. Where two or three are gathered, there he is in your midst. Now when you come to church, you know, I can see you're improving. You should have watched you 2 weeks ago, how you were. I was scared to even come in. But my God, there's no fear of God. And I'm talking about this church. You don't fear God. You know how people behave when they fear God? It's not like, oh my God, you're going to punish me. No. No, fear of God is not you're going to punish me. Fear of God is, God, I'm ready to walk straight in your arms because I have nothing to hide. When God came down in Exodus 20:20, you know what they told Moses? You go up. We won't come up with you. You go, but we'll speak to you. Because there was noises and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes, and God descended on Mount Sinai. And you know what Moses responded? He said, no, don't be afraid of this God. It's clearing what is fear and what is to be afraid. He said, don't be afraid of him. Guys, he's come so that you may have fear of him, so that you may never sin. The fear of God will keep you from sinning. Do you know I would have died if not for my God? Do you know what we are capable of doing? Do you know? You think you're very holy? All you have to do is just change some few things in your life and you'll come to know what is inside of it. You don't know what man is capable of. The most horrible natures on you and me. The only thing that can keep that nature down is a praying woman, a praying child. Daily, continuously, you're praying. You're always connected. That's the only way your flesh will remain down. You leave your flesh for 5 minutes and see what it'll do. Am I speaking right, brother? Speaking right. 5 minutes you leave and you see what it'll do. Can you tell God, my eyes are yours from today? Tell him, my eyes are yours. Do you know God has to look through your eyes and see what you're seeing? Because whatever you see comes into his temple. Whatever you gaze on goes into his temple. Now he's asking you, you follow me? What is this in my temple? Fear of God. Fear. Because we don't fear God, we think, it's okay. You can watch. It's okay. Once in a way it is. It's a good movie, but moral of the story, little cursing bad is there. No fear of God. Because grace. Grace has robbed the church of the power of God. You start fearing God and see this church will start moving in power. The minute the fear of God comes, do you know the Bible says the fear of God, his covenant is with those who fear him. The Bible says, the Bible tells you so many promises of a man who fears God. Fear God has nothing to do with getting scared of him. Why do you think Moses was telling him, guys, he's not coming to beat you. He's coming to show you who he is so that for the rest of your life, you'll never touch sin. Do you know those guys were fully sanctified? Because if you read the chapter, he already sanctified them. He cleansed them. He put a border around everything. Those guys were right to move straight up to God and shake his hand. But when they saw it, you know what they said? We cannot commit to this lifestyle of yours, Moses. I can do it for 3 days, but not for 1 week. I can do it for 1 week, not for 1 month. I cannot do it for 1 month, but I can't do it for a year. Moses, you go and seek him. Because I can do this natak for 4 days. I can do it for 5, but I cannot do it for a lifetime. This heart has too much to run after. I can't run after him. I can't be like you, Moses. You go. So you know what God said? He said, it's no problem. No problem. You come up with me. He said, I will only show them my power from today. But you will see my face. So the Bible says in Psalm 103 that his deeds he revealed to Israel, but his ways he revealed to Moses. You decide, you want to know his ways or you want to know his deeds. Because I can guarantee you, the more you see of God's power, his power never made anybody get a change of heart. But when you sought his face, you're changed forever. You are changed forever. I'll show you people by the dozen who have touched his power and gone back to their old living. Blind eyes, crippled. All the people that Jesus healed, touched him. Power came out of him. At the time he was being crucified, they were the same guys standing, crucify him. Crucify him. These were the guys crying out, kill him. Only 12 were standing, and that too, their knees also were shaking. Thank God for the women. They said, I don't care about you. We are not leaving. Something with the women, I tell you. It's time we brought some men into the kingdom. Women, remember, by your life, you can change them. By your life. By you saying, God, today I leave here with no strings attached. I have no plans of my own. I have no agenda. Lord, I live so long for me and this is all I could do. Do you know when you die, even that sheet that they put on you will not be yours? The minute you die, you know what they call you? It. Take it. Put it. I don't know about this. It's so crazy. I said, it. He said, he's my father. It becomes an it. The minute your spirit leaves, you become a body ko udhar dalo, body ko idhar dalo. There's life now. Will you live it for Jesus? Will you take your heart and say, God, I may fall 100 times, but I will get up 200 times. My heart belongs to you. Lord, when you speak, I'll leave everything. Because your voice is more than anything to me. Lord, it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than be dwelling in the tents of the wicked. What is life without your presence, Lord? What is church without your presence? Somebody cry out to Jesus right now. Say, I cannot live without your presence. I refuse to live without your presence. Zoom people cry out, say, I refuse. I will pursue you with all my heart. Lord, no matter where and what I do, my heart will always be with you. My life will always be with you. Remember the day he brought you out from the house of bondage. And at that time, he only told you, come follow me. And you said with your mouth, I will follow you all the days of my life. What happened? Who stole your heart? It's because you never took a copy of the Word of God with you. You never read it every day. You never read the Word of God every day. That's what kings do. You know why they need to do it? Put that scripture back. Oh, I love this God. Anybody loves this God? Hey, he's the most compassionate. Did you know God would have never told me to preach this message if he doesn't want to give someone a big hug? Do you know why God tells you choose life, not death? Because he knows right now what you have chosen is death. It's death. You have when you leave Jesus, you have chosen death because he's life. So when God tells you choose, it's not that he's an over-possessive creator. He created you. He knows how you'll thrive in his presence. He knows how you'll grow. He knows the giftings that will come out of you. He knows the river that he can bring out of your belly. He knows how he can take you and make a blessing to nations. And he knows what you will become if you chase after other gods. That he may what?
Learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes.
That his
heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel.
Ah. The next verse. I love this.
The priests
and the Levites and all the tribe have no inheritance.
They shall eat the fruits of the Lord made by fire.
Go on.
Therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he said to them.
Shout, look there.
And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from those who offer a sacrifice, whether it is bull or sheep. They shall give to the priest the shoulder, the cheeks, and the stomach.
Hey, do you want to be a priest? Huh? You'll get the cheeks, the shoulders, and all the nice parts. Huh? God will give you the best because he says, listen, son, you don't need any inheritance. I am your inheritance. And look what we did. We ran. Do you know when you accepted Jesus as your Lord? This Lord was supposed to build your house, plant your vineyard, bring your partner, raise you up, bless you. And what we did? We said, Lord, we give you our life, and then we started making our life. You are supposed to actually say, Lord, I give you my life, and then for the rest of your life, run after this God every day. And this God, when you run after him, he would bring every good thing into your life. Look at what we've become. We've done such a great job of entwining ourselves from all sides, locking ourselves and throwing the key out also. And then stand in line and say, pray over me, Pastor. Today, in Jesus' mighty name, I unwind your heart from all the chains that the enemy has put on you. Your heart shall be unwound. From today, you will hear voice. When you turn to the left and when you turn to the right, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Will you listen to that voice when it comes to you? Will you listen to that voice? husbands and wives, can you hold each other's arms and say, we shall raise this house in the fear of God. Nothing shall happen in this house. Huh? Nothing. If something happens that is against God's word, know at that moment you have decided not to follow Jesus and you've decided to start doing your own thing. Because remember the guys who said, I'll follow Jesus, you know what they did? You read Matthew 4. They dropped their nets. They left their boats. One says they left their father also. The father was in the boat. They left him also. Because the call was so clear. The call was so accurate. The call could have not missed. Not like God was calling. He looked at him straight. He said, you, come, I need you. You, I need you. You, son, I need you. You're very important. Daughter, I need you. This God is still asking, will you follow me? He's still asking the same question. Will you follow me? He's still asking the same question. And somehow we've dodged this question very well. And we've made it religion. So we think that by coming, clapping, dancing, shouting, you know, getting excited, putting little offering inside, that we are following him. Anyone wants to ask the Holy Spirit? Say, Lord, my life is yours, Lord. If somebody wants to renew your commitment, kneel down, I'll pray with you. I just feel the Lord wants to touch somebody's heart today. If you are going to talk to him, kneel down. We are going to pray for you. Psalm chapter 25. Psalm chapter 25 says something beautiful. There is a liar. 24 verse 3. Who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Verse 6 says, this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. Not his hand, his face. Listen, everything of a man is in his face, not in his hand. His hands have no emotions. But when you look at God's face, you know instantly, is he happy? Is he filled with joy? Is he smiling? Is he impressed? Is he blessed? That only happens when you look at his face, not his hand. And the Bible says, such is the generation. Do we have that generation here? Who is going to seek his face? Chapter 25, Psalm, verse 4 says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. And lead me in your truth. And teach me, Lord, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. That same chapter says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. I pray the fear of God comes in your homes from today. I pray that you will never bring something in your house that defiles God. There will be nothing on your table, on your computer, in your house that defiles God. Father, we come before you, Lord, the judge, Lord. You asked your disciples, Lord, when they looked at you and they said, Lord, we want what you have. And all you said was, are you willing to follow me? Because you knew very well, Lord, that if somebody decided to walk with you, just walking with you every day of our lives will take us from glory to glory. Lord, you knew that this walk is not a one-day affair, not a one-week affair. You knew, Lord, that as long as we walked with you, our hearts would burn like the street of Emmaus, Lord, where their hearts burn, because as we walked with you, Lord, we became like you. But Lord, we ask your forgiveness, because while we said we want to follow you, Lord, we hid so many things behind our backs. And we still pretended to follow you. But you said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You commanded us to write a copy of your law and to read it every day, to meditate on it, because it is life and healing our bones. Your word says, my son, pay attention to my word. Incline your ears to my saying. Let it not depart from your heart. Keep them within your mouth, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Guard above all things your heart, for from it flows the issues of life. And Lord, we did not guard our hearts, Lord. We allowed the filth of this world. We allowed a devil, Lord. We allowed Satan. We allowed his demons to come into our soul. We looked at things we should have not looked at. Lord, we partook of conversations we should have ran away from. Lord, we went and we sat in places we should have never walked with. Lord, the house of God, can it mix with the house of Belial? Can light and darkness ever meet? How can two walk unless they be agreed? Father, I want to quit playing games with your heart. Sweet Holy Spirit, I ask your forgiveness, Lord. Because when Jesus asked them to follow, the disciples were not following a man, but the Spirit of God in a man. And that same invitation is today with us, Lord. How we can walk with the Spirit of God, because those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Lord, what will be my response when you ask me to give up something? What will be my response when you tell me to walk away from something? Will I say, give me more time? Oh Lord, have I not kept you waiting for so long? Father, give me the grace, and I receive the grace by this word, to walk away from every temptation, Lord. This is my sacrifice that I offer to you. It's going to pain, Lord, but nothing is more painful than to see your body on that cross dying for me and me walking away to have a good time with this world. No, Lord. I will not be that Judas, Lord, who looks at you and walks the other way. I will not be that crowd who received a miracle and stood there and said, it is better that one dies so that all may be saved. No. Lord, it is better that my desires die today so that I can walk for you for eternity and be with you. Because where you are is where I want to be, Lord. I want you to start talking to Jesus right now. Close your eyes and start talking to him. He is here right now. He's in your midst. Tell him what's on your heart. Confess. I choose you. I use my will and I choose you. I will never defile my temple, Lord. I will never defile my temple. You are holy. I want to know your ways, Lord. Show me your face. I will not survive, Lord, just to see your hand. Show me your glory. Whatever it is, Lord, I'm going to see your face. Such is the generation who seek your face. Ah, come on. Who may ascend to the holy hill of the Lord? One who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to any idols. Such is the generation who seek his face. Listen, child of God, this is the generation who seeks his face. The other generation is the one who seeks his hand. Who will not put boundaries on anything. Who will say God's grace is there to cover everything. But there is a generation that says, I will not stop until I seek his face. Those generation, only that generation will watch where they stand. That generation will be the generation who says, Moses, I'm coming up with you. I cannot let you go alone. I want to see what you see. I want to touch his feet and be where he is. This is a generation, child of God, who seeks his face. This is the generation. This verse in Psalm 24, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord or may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitful, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. This generation, he's talking about a generation of people who only are ready to seek his face. That genre of people will be this kind. They will keep their hands clean. They will keep their hearts pure. They will not lift their soul to a single idol. And they will never swear deceitfully. That generation will receive the blessing of the Lord. Please make note, it is that generation that receives the blessing. Not the generation that says, Lord, I'll follow you with 15 clauses. Not the generation that says, God, do this for me. No. God has seen every possible personality. You think he's getting a start when he sees us? He's seen it all. He's seen decades and thousands of generations come and say the same thing you and I said. But there is something that can touch his heart today. What is it that you're bringing of value on the altar? What is your Isaac? What is your Isaac, I ask you? If you can bring Isaac to the altar, experience a revival from today. Such is the generation. Are you ready to pray? Have you made peace with God? Have you made peace with yourself? Have you decided to follow Jesus completely? Yes? Completely? No strings attached? Hey, when God looks at you, He doesn't look at one person. He's looking at a generation that is going to be saved by you. Listen, today what you say to the Lord, He is here. I know that. He is looking what covenant you are ready to make with Him. Because if you make a covenant with Him, He'll use this covenant to feed a nation through you. He'll use these words that you utter to Him as the starting platform to bless many people. I never saw this, but when I looked at the blessing of Abraham, which I must have read at least 100 times, I don't know why, maybe because I marked it, I missed this line. But today when I read it, I saw it. When God called Abraham to get out of his country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. Look what he says. I will make you a great nation. Number one. Listen, this God is not a fool. If you give him your whole heart, he's going to make a great nation out of you. Are we still debating? Is your friend more important? Is your problem getting answered important? Or is your heart important to be at his feet? The first thing he says, I will make you a... The next thing he says, I will bless you. The third thing he says, I will make your name great. And the fourth thing which I forgot, and you shall be a blessing. You have not even begun to experience how your life is going to be a blessing to many. When you come out of the presence of God, even your enemies will want a meeting with you. Because when you come, they will know that a living God abides in you. Because now the God in you will start doing the social connects that you gave up because you wanted to be at his feet. Now he'll be the whisperer in Pharaoh's ear, let my people go. Now he'll be that voice who visits your family members and tells them, touch not my anointed, nor do my prophets harm. Now he'll be the one who settles you in good houses. Now he'll be the one who makes a way in a wilderness. He'll be the one who becomes the pillar of cloud. Now you won't have to work. There'll be a God who will work and give you the credit to get a big name. Child of God, please don't get it wrong this time. We have spent 40 years in a wilderness, going zigzag over the same mountain. God has said, I've got a straight line to get you there. Are you ready? If you're ready, stand up. I'm going to pray with you. Are you ready? Can I hear a shout of triumph in your camp? Are you ready to leave the house of bondage once and for all? Never. Say never. There is a reason why Lot's wife turned into salt. I'll preach on it one day. God was telling me, preach on it at a wedding. Seriously. I said, Lord, really? The next one who's getting married, you're going to hear a message on Lot's wife. Same pastor, I'm not getting married. Huh? You want to get married? No, you say. Be careful what you say no to. God bought the whole family out. And he said, don't look back. Don't look back. Do you know when you look, the gate to your heart has already been opened. Your eyes, my dear, are gates. The minute you look, it has already entered. You don't need permission. Your eyes are the permission. That's why God said, I am delivering you out from a bondage place. Sodom. Sodomy. Sodomy. Never look back. Walk straight. But one person in the family decided to look back. Say, I will never look back. From now, there's no looking back. I got someone who's holding my hand. And I have chosen correct. This Jesus, whose hand you hold, I'm telling you, he has the best grip. More than Nilo grip, more than any grip, when he grips your hand, even iron will bend. You're worried about your family members? They'll bend backwards. Huh? Even iron bends in the presence of God. The Bible says the hills melt like wax at the presence of God. What are your problems? Start seeking his face. Start seeking his. When I was sitting today at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I started getting scared. Because I could begin to feel that I'm not alone in the room. I said, my God, not one word was spoken to me, not one word. All I was doing was just staring at the word. And sleep was coming and I kept poking my eyes. I said, you will not sleep. There is a God in this room. How dare you sleep? And I began to read. And all I did was just look at the Bible. And he was standing there. To me, not one word he said, yet I knew I was not alone. Years of education cannot give you this understanding. And when you come out of your prayer room, you know that even if a bullet hits you, it's going to miss you. Even if the devil shoots his best arrow, it cannot go, because there's a shield in front of you. That you know that you are God's exceedingly great reward. You're not waiting for a reward. You are the reward because you chose to seek his face. Now you become the reward. Now nations come to you and are blessed to you because you, Neha, chose to seek his face. Father, close your eyes with the deepest prayer that you can ever, with the greatest conviction that you can make. Say, Lord, repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, you said, follow me. And when you said, follow me, you meant 24/7. But Lord, I have been a part-time lover. Because when I look at my temple,
Let your grace locate me today, Lord. Because I have decided to follow Jesus. Holy Spirit, forgive me for being such a person who rushes. I have always rushed, done what I want, said what I want, never asked you. Forgive me that whenever you tried to lead me, I walked in the opposite direction. Dear Jesus, whenever I heard a voice not to do something, there was another voice that said, I will do it. I will do it. And so I did it, God. Shamelessly, after even knowing I did it. And Lord, now I know how the enemy has trapped me. But Lord, today I give you my will. I have no will left, Lord, except your will for my life. Where you lead, I go. And where you walk, I follow. Dear Jesus, there couldn't be a better person I can trust my life with. I thank you, Lord, when I'm doing nothing, I'm doing everything. I thank you, Lord, that even though it may look like I'm losing, I'm gaining everything. And Lord, it may look, Lord, like everyone's going ahead. But I know I'm being rooted. And I know, Father, that you will bless everything according to your word. Because I am the seed of Abraham. And your word says, get out of your country. That means not leave your physical location, but leave a location in your mind that you are bound, that you think you are a citizen of this land. No, you're a citizen of heaven. And he says, go to a land I show you, and I'll make you a great nation. Say, Lord, I'm ready to become one. And Lord, your word says, I will bless you. And then you said, I'll make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Lord, what my entire generation has never seen, I believe it shall be accomplished through me. Because such is the generation of those who seek your face. And Daddy, according to your word, you said, all the families in earth shall be blessed through me. And whoever blesses me, Lord, is blessed from today. And whoever curses, God says, I will curse, not you. I will curse, not you. Ah, that means you have become a live location for the presence of God. Nobody can get away with cursing God and living. Are you ready to be that? Are you ready? Father, in your hearing, as we have prayed, let this be done according to your children's faith, Lord. To those who have cried out to you, Lord, and you heard them, touch them, give them the grace, Lord. Give them, let them take their will and enforce things in their life. Lord, we refuse to be crippled. We refuse to make crippled excuses.
Lord, we are children of grace who walk in the fear of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Pray that we'll hold this word close to our hearts. Service is over. Don't treat this word the same. Even as you're traveling back to your respective houses, even as you're coming together with your family, even as you are beginning a new week on Monday, keep going back to this word. And whatever the word has promised, it shall come to pass in your life. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you with all our hearts. Take care. God bless.
Hey people of God, we believe God is going to use this podcast to enrich your spiritual walk with Him. If you would like to stay connected, text us on our WhatsApp number 845-109-9931. To check out our ministries, No Ordinary Parenting, for parents to help raise a mighty army of children, and Soar Girls Ministry that lifts, leads, and launches daughters of God, head to pursuehim.net. Remember, keep pursuing Jesus, for what you pursue is what you become. Have a blessed day.